Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to return to Ayur Satara. From Perikid Aleph, Si'if Gimel, page Samach Hei. Everybody here knows that it's very, very hard to understand. All of Rav Kook's Ksavim are very, very hard. And then within that category of hard, there are Madregas of hard Sheba hard. So this Si'if Gimel is one of those. And it's not man over here.
I know.
Oh, okay. Coffee delivery service. Delivery service. Okay. Hope you get a good tip. It's not just a matter of the language. It's not just a matter of translating, which itself is so challenging and so hard just to try to translate. But the hargosha that is the hargosha that's flowing under the words, between the words, in the letters over here, something which I don't think it's possible for me to convey, to try to give over. It's very connected to what we're learning this morning in the Raza de Shabbos Chabura, which that often happens, but here in particular. So let me just give a little bit of Hagdama. And then we'll do our best to try to understand al derech afshar, to try to understand. There are different ways of living a life of Torah mitzvahs, of keeping mitzvahs. There are different ways. The mitzvahs are the same mitzvahs for everybody. The menhagim like this, menhagim like that. But we all keep Shabbos. We all shachris menchamav. We tefillin and sitzes and sukkahs and pesach and so on. We have the same Torah. But there's still an infinite amount of ways that the Torah is kept, that people keep Yiddishkeit. Not mitzad, not as far as the actual kiyum hamitzvahs and the halachas. Of course, with the halachas, there are chilukei days and Ashkenazim and the Sfadim and so on. But in terms of how a person sees his life of Torah mitzvahs, how one thinks, the etzes of how to keep and how to live as a Jew, there are infinite variations. But there's one basic chiluk that Rav Kook makes, that it's possible to say that there are two kinds of Jews, or two approaches to keeping mitzvahs, to living a life of Torah mitzvahs. You know that there are factories, big factories. I remember once they took us when we were kids to see a factory. They're big factories where they have a person can stand. Well, now they do things much more with machines, but an assembly line. That means where a person has a job, his whole life could be to just put this one piece. He puts a piece onto and it comes down the thing, and his whole life, he's there for 60 years, and he has to put a little thing on top. He has to put a little screw like this, and that's his job. What's the whole finished product, and what is the whole big thing? That's not his ASIC, that's not his Indian, that's not what he's getting paid for. He's metapel, he takes care of his spot on the assembly line. And let's say it's a smaller operation, not such a big factor, it's a small operation. It could be that he has to be metapel, he has three or four other people, he has to be metapel with this piece and that piece, and sometimes he has to go from here, he has to check on there. And it should come out to be a finished product. So there are people whose Yiddishkeit is observed in such a way. Meaning that the Yiddishkeit is piecework. every mitzvah is a separate act of subservience and obedience to the Borei Olam, to the Creator, which is a very, very chashuv thing. And Shabbos, and even within Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos morning, within Friday night, Kiddush, Nizmiris, everything is a separate piece, assembly line, and he tries to do his best to be good at that piece, at taking care of that piece of Yiddishkeit. But Rav Kook tells us that there's another way of Yiddishkeit. There's holiness in this first way as well. But there's another way of Yiddishkeit. And Rav Kook, in his poetic way, describes that as a Yiddishkeit that is shaytef as shetef achayim shalom. A powerful current that washes over a person's life. Not like it comes drips and drabs. Each mitzvah is like a thing. But rather, the whole Yiddishkeit is one big, like, tidal wave. And in that tidal wave is, of course, Tefillin and Tzitzis and Shabbos and Sukkot and Purim. And it's all in there. As opposed to the first type of person, the first person sees every part of Yiddishkeit as a command from the Borei Olam. He hears it in such a way, again, which is very holy. He hears the Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, Yankel, put on tefillin today. What's today? Today is Beis Iyar Tavshanayin Gimel. Yankel, put on tefillin today. Yes, Rabbeinu Shalom, today I put on tefillin. That's his job on the assembly line of his life, of serving Hashem, which is beautiful. And there's one prat, one detail, another detail, and over the course of his life, he accumulates thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of beautiful little projects that he made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapes HaKol Ber, he gets rewarded for every single prat. It's a beginning. But in Rav Kook's eyes, that's not the ideal Yiddishkeit. That's not the highest level of Yiddishkeit. As beautiful as it is, and as admirable as it is, it's not the highest type of Yiddishkeit. There's Yiddishkeit that the Torah talks about, not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos. But the Torah says to do the mitzvahs, v'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem. And what Rav Kook tells us here, what we're going to try to see in the words, that what Rav Kook is telling us here, is that there's a Jew for whom Yiddishkeit is not a matter of piecework. It's not a matter of this mitzvah, that mitzvah, this day, that day, disconnected pieces of obedience, of subservience. But rather, this person's Yiddishkeit is the Etzem Achayim, is life itself. This is what we're talking about in Rosh Hashanah this morning. It's life itself. It's V'chai B'hem. In the same way that right now, Baruch Hashem, everybody here is breathing, and we have each minute, there are variations, but everybody has his and her pace of neshimas, of breaths, and heartbeats, and the pulse. But you know what a rachmanis it is when you have a Jew, or have any person, a human being, where the person starts to take note of every heartbeat and every breath. Many people have anxiety over that. I know people who have had anxiety over noticing their heartbeats or missing heartbeats or noticing their breaths and then I'm not keeping up with my usual pace of breathing. But a healthy person doesn't separate one breath from all of his breathing, right? So there's a seder of breathing. And he doesn't separate one heartbeat from the heart beating. It's a mahalach. It's called life. It's a mahalach. If a person's not well, then... But in the healthy person, there's a mahalach of life. In other words, the beating heart is a cheftza of a beating heart. It's not the heart beats. Beep, beep, beep. It's a beating heart. And it has that shetef achayim, that current of life flowing through it. That's how the heart is working. Even though, of course, it's beating and it's pumping. And of course, if you listen, you hear it. But the shetef achayim is the flow of life. The v'chai behem, the Baruch Shalom says to us, Kindlach, I don't want you to keep mitzvahs just like in an assembly line, where each mitzvah is a separate prat. Each mitzvah is piecework. When you live a Yiddishkeit like that, it's an amazing thing how the mitzvahs don't necessarily change your life. Because the mitzvahs are supposed to change our lives. They were designed to make us holy. One of the great reasons that we see that mitzvahs often don't work, don't seem to be working, and don't seem to be making us into the hoybana, higher, uplifted people, is because the mitzvahs are being done on an assembly line. And as I said, this is not to minimize the holiness of such a thing. Every mitzvah, and it also helps a person, there's no question. But in terms of changing one's life, so each mitzvah, and a person lives that way, where every prat is a separate piece, and one has no connection to the other. And there's no shetev achayim, there's no current of life. His Yiddishkeit is not a cheftza of what? A cheftza of Ahavas Hashem. A cheftza of Avodas Hashem. As we were learning this morning in the Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, this person who lives the first way on the assembly line, every single piece that comes down the line, you know, he's been there for 40, 50 years, so it could be that he's not going to be so medactic, you understand? Not so medactic. It's the same thing coming around. You know, a person feels shachus yesterday is the same shachus as today. Yesterday's tefillin, last week's Shabbos. And here it comes down the assembly line again. And you feel that it's just another Shabbos, nacha Shabbos, nacha tefillin, nacha shachos, nacha mincha. I mean, again, there's great kedusha in that. But it's very, very easy to lose your cheshek. I once I worked during the summer when we were kids on an assembly line kind of a thing. Where I think myself and my friend who got this job, I think we caused more of a loss of money for the boss than what we made. There was so much goofing around. It was like a lunch program for camps, like to put together the lunch for the camps. It was a government subsidy. It was a firm guy. And we were doing this. So like after a half hour, you know, we were going out of our kelim, so we had to think of creative ways to survive. Which is on the cheshbon of the boss, obviously. Doing different things with the sandwiches. No, doing crazy stuff. Just crazy stuff. Having chopped meat, you know, fights and stuff. And the Department of Health guy just walked in at that moment, and he had to duck, and it hit the wall right behind him. I hope Mr. Gross from Shamel doesn't remember that anymore. That's around 40 years ago. Came in with the Department of Health to show him how things were going, and all the yeshiva guys were throwing out meat. And it went right on the wall next to the guy from the Department of Health, and it stuck on the wall. And we went, ooh, because he walked in, it was too late. Like we were through, and then it like slid down the wall. And Mr. Gross just looked at us like, I can't believe you, you know, you're doing this. I can't believe it. It's just like, I remember how it slid down the wall to me. Because you go crazy on the assembly line. You go crazy. How much time? And they have the same thing. The same thing. Nachamal, nachamal, nachamal. Put this here, put this, put this there. You go crazy. So, there's a different Yiddish guide. There's a Yiddish guide of V'chai B'hem. V'chai B'hem means everything is one thing. It's all one big, it's all one big ocean of Avodas Avodah, not drips, drip, 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 but an ocean of Avodas Avodah. And this, today's film is not a separate thing, it's in the ocean of my Avodas Hashem. That is something which is by the Yochid, as Rav Kook always tells us, and that's in the life of the Tzibur as well. If we're sensing that Am Yisrael at the end of time seems to be getting a little bit worn out and tired, it's because of this kind of a Yiddishkeit, of an assembly line Yiddishkeit, where a lot of it has to do with not understanding what is the bigger picture over here. What's the tachlis? What's the bigger picture? So, but we want to be good boys and girls, and we want to behave, and we want to do what Hashem tells us to do. So we just keep on putting the thing on the assembly line, and each one to do our job. So Cook writes, Kiyum HaTorah. Kima Torah, the observance, the life of Torah mitzvahs has to come from the overpowering, the tigboyres hakoyach haruchni, the overpowering strength and energy of ruchnis that flows into our lives from the oimek kedushas haneshama, from the depths of the holiness of the soul. Sheshoytev es shetef achayim shaloi, al tnuvay sa'odam hayichidi v'hatsiva kulei b'shetef pis'oimi, that washes over, but not like washing a little, like a wave, washing over like a little bit of water, that rushes over, and flows, a huge rush. Sheshoytev es shetef achayim shaloi, the whole current of life, al tnuva sa'odam, washes over this huge wave, washes over the shetef achayim shalei al tnuva sa'odam, all of the movements, all of the actions of ha'odam hayichidi, of the individual person, v'hatzibur, and the community, kuloi b'shetef pis'aymi. Kulei b'shetef pis'aymi. It happens to that person's entire existence, and to the entire community. B'shetef pis'aymi. B'shetef pis'aymi. Like a rushing, sudden current. Yeah, current. It comes into a dry place that's chalishing for the rain, that's chalishing for water. You know, sometimes a person, let's say somebody comes to collect tzedakah. So he comes in, and he's a regular collector, and it's a regular inyan. So he goes around, if it's, depending upon where, so he'll get a couple of pennies, a quarter, a dollar, but it's, again, it's a, but if somebody throws open the door of the Beis Medrash and says, Rabbi Isai, and there's a yid over here that they're going to kill, whatever's going to happen, he's going to be killed in 1 minute unless we could put together $1,000. We have to buy this guy. Things like this used to happen to us. We have to buy this Jew for $1,000. So you think they're going to have to walk around with a cup? There's going to be a pushka? They're going to be the nudniks that every single day ask for change because they use the pushka as a way to pay for their meters. You know, they have Jews like that. They handle so much with the shamas that the shamas doesn't have time to ever go to anybody else because the same guy is always asking for change. You know, there's certain type of yid also. So he uses the pushka every day for his collection, for his change. It's not worth the effort. It's not how much he invests in it. That's what's going to be. That's not what's going to be. They scream out. They throw open the door and they say, "Rabbi, say $1,000. $1,000." And that's it. Not it doesn't take 1 minute. 10 seconds. 10 seconds. $1,000. 10 seconds. You give the guy whatever it is, the Russia, here's $1,000, you take the Jew back, finished. We'll worry about it later on. Because $1,000 will be in a second, is $1,000. If it'll be a regular collection, a regular day, stock it out in the mothers, so that, you know, what mothers? But usually, they say it always by the funeral places, the guy stands over there, stock it out some mothers. But it's ready for Falun, for him and for you. You figure you're going to live forever, so it's Rahmanis, the guy stock it out some mothers. It's stuck at that some others. So the guy walks around, yeah, put a quarter, it's a dollar. But if this guy is God forbid about to die, and it's really a maaser from stuck at that some others right now, then he's not going to be walking out with a pushka, shaking a pushka. See? 1 second, whatever the money is. I remember when there was a maaser where I lived in Queens when we were kids. I remember it was the 1967 war. I don't remember it was 1973. I don't remember which Muhammad was. One of those, it was either 67 or 73. But I remember that there was a particular need to set up a, what's it called, like with this emergency with the medical, they have to, what? There's a word with a T. Triage. So there was a, they came to us, the shul, emergency that they needed to set up in a certain place, and it's itself for a triage thing, and I remember that it was something like $250,000, and it wasn't a rich community, it was regular, not rich. So if this was like the Jerry Lewis telethon, that's an all night thing, you know, to get money together. It was such a daiva hoisa. The guy came that was explaining it to the oilam. Everybody came to shul, and he came there. That there was such screaming out, $5,000, $10,000 from regular Jews, $10,000, and $10,000 then was like $50,000, $10,000, $20,000, everybody screaming, not krechtsing and not going over and what it was. The whole thing was finished. We barely sat down in the chair and all the money, it was done. But they're hidden that they're taking the boys right from the into this triage into this thing, the metapol to save their lives. It wasn't a collection, it wasn't a pushka, it wasn't going around shaking a pushka and saying, "Can you do a little better? Can you do a little better?" Boom, shetter for chayim, life. There's such a thing where Yiddishkeit. Is a Yiddishkeit of a chayban, where it's not like that the Rebbe Shlom walks around with a pushka. Can you do me a tayva? Just tell him. Do me a tayva. The Rebbe Shlom was a pushka. Ah, yeah. Do me a tayva. A little bit the davening today. A little bit kavana. No. So the Rebbe Shlom comes by with his pushka, and he stops by. He says, "What do you say? A little bit kavana today, uncle." A little bit kavana. Okay, all right. Ashrei Yisrael v'Yisach. That's it. I'm done. Three words. Go. So the Baruch Shemsky, do a little bit better. Come on. Let's go. Move. Goes to the next guy, the Baruch Shalom. There's a Yiddish cut like that. Like that. Pieces. The Baruch Shalom snoring. Going around like that. And then whoever does it feels like he's doing a big toiver for the Baruch Shalom. But the Yiddishkeit that Rav Kook is describing is a Yiddishkeit sheshoyte v'shoyte v'chayim shlei al tnuois ha'odam ha'yichide v'atzi b'kula b'shetef v'sayimi. That's why I said before, you see, it's not only by an individual that could be such a thing that comes with the tshuva p'sayimis at the beginning of the Eretz Yisrael. It's not just that the individual could be washed over by this wave that comes from the neshama. Even the tzibra, I gave an example. in the shul when they collected all that money in a minute. They collected all that money. There was a shetef achaim of what of tzedakah that of this inyan of helping Jews that just came in like that, came in to a tzibur, and that can happen to the nation also. That can happen to the entire nation. And you know, when that happens, it's an amazing thing. When that shetef achaim, when that current of truth, of Yiddishkeit, of the Bar Olam, rushes in, not the pushkin, but it comes in like boom, in that way, it's an amazing thing how B'shas Maisa, when that happens, there's no nafkim in it, whether he's an Ashkenaz or a Svad, right? He's a Chassidish, a Litvish, whether he's even from, he's not from, Zayid. Doesn't make a difference. When the shetef achaim comes, Lahavda elf alfei havdolos, there's no bigger havdola. The Malacham Avos came, he wasn't mavchin, he wasn't making havchanas between this and that, right? The Malacham Avos was going around in Auschwitz, he didn't interview the Chassidische, Ger, Alexander, what are you? A Litvak. There were even a few Svadim. There were Greeks that were thrown into the. There were some Svadish even that were there also. People don't know. The Malachim Avos didn't make, like in Mitzrayim. Once he's let loose. There's such a thing as Shetef HaMavos, God forbid, a Magefa, where death doesn't come in drips and drabs, where death comes like a wave, Hashem Yirachem. It doesn't make all kinds of havchanas. The guy wears a hat, doesn't wear a hat. Wears a tiles cotton with stripes, without stripes. Eats gebrochs, doesn't eat gebrochs. The Malacham Avos didn't care whether he ate gebrochs or not. Oh, you don't eat gebrochs? You're okay. Come on. Didn't make a difference to the Malacham Avos. It was the shetef. The slime of the Malacham Avos comes a big mudslide, just like that. Boom. Shetef HaMavos. So there is such a thing that not only by the individual, Rav Kook says, "Sheshoyte v'shetav chaim shlo yaltnuas ha'odem ha'yichidi v'atzibu kulei b'shetav." Person with the neshama somehow that comes out from the depths of the neshama, a powerful, powerful current that washes over the individual and the tzibur and even the entire nation. B'loy hadrogi itis. Not in slow steps, slow stages. B'loy hadrogi itis. The chibur chalokim shel tzav lo tzav v'kav lo kav, like it says in Pasuk. And not, where the mitzvahs are not kept in such a way by trying to join one mitzvah to another mitzvah. Tzav lo tzav, kav lo kav. Like when you have... You remember when the children they had in the books where you connect the dots and you make a picture? So that's what it means. Tzav letzav kav lekav means when your Yiddishkeit is you just take care of your dot. That's the assembly line, Yiddishkeit. You take care of your dot. And then you say to the Baruch Shalom, you know what, when I'm 120 doing you a favor, what? Connect the dots. That's how most Jews live. I'm just working on this dot. Right now, I don't know what this, the shaykh is between this and that. I don't know what this has to do with my life. I don't know what this has to do with history, with the oilemas. I don't know. I just have this dot, and I'll take care of this dot, which is a choshev thing, but I'll just take care of this dot. And the Baruch Shalom, do me a favor, when it's all finished, if you could do me a favor and connect the dots and show me what this is all, like what this all was about. How does this all make a picture? I don't know how this makes a picture. I don't see any picture. I'm just living in this dot. So when a person's mincha that particular day is he's in that dot to finish. That's it. That Yiddishkeit is where the mitzvahs and everything is just a chibur chalokim. That's what I meant by assembly line. Just to put together the pieces, shel tzav latzav v'kav lakav. One mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah, then you're 120, you die. And then someone puts all the misses together, and let's see what happens. Did you win? Did you lose? You came out ahead. You came out behind. Like That's not the ideal Yiddish guy. The Yiddish guy that Rav Kook is talking about is a Yiddish guy where everything is alive. The Chai Behem. And in that way of a Chai Behem, every din, every minig, every little, tiny little minig of Klai Yisrael is as important to this person as the biggest halacha. Because in the ocean of Yiddishkeit, it's not Sav Latzav Kav Lakav. It's an ocean. It's all one big Shetav Achayim. So this person can be completely and totally on fire when he is setting the lulav up. Not that he tells the guy that the Chenvani, put it together for me. Do me a favor. Put it together for me. Like the, let's say the guy in the soicher who's selling the abaminim, he gives him a lulav, gives him the hadasim by Ravis. So this guy says, do me a favor, put them together. You don't have the schus of putting together the abamina? Look, I'm paying you for having a set, no? So a set means it's fully assembled. That's how I bought all the toys for my kids. I wasn't one of the guys that put together the bicycle, right? I got the fully assembled one, even if it was the one in the store that was already damaged, but it still could die because somebody else put it together. So the Seicha says, you know, it's a gewaldige avoda, but the tzaddikim are isik in putting the rings and making the abaminim. You know what a big thing it is? It says in the Svarm, it's a big thing. Okay, you get this chus, you do the big thing. I just want to have a ready-made thing, and that's it, eventually. Then you have a tzaddik. And the tzaddik, if a person is zayich to be in the presence of the tzaddik, when he's making the rings around the lulav hadas on the ravis, it's with bechiyus. He's crying. So you're wondering. So I can understand if a person's crying on Yom Kippur, his whole life, you know, is up in the balance. I can understand that he's crying Yom Kippur. That I could understand. I could even understand if you're telling me that by Kiddush on Shabbos, the person's misragish. And the Lamdan, this person will say, is a Lamdan. He says, we're talking about it, something's a deraisa. It's a deraisa, I can understand. But what's this tzaddik, what's he doing over here crying by the rings? What is that? We had an avoda by tzaddikim that they were choosing the Hoshanas for Hoshana Rabbah. And they're making the bundles for Hoshana Rabbah. And what the tzaddikim, what they were doing with each one of their family members, that each one there was an avoda to put which hashanis to put together, and to make the hashanis and to give this to that child, to that grandchild. That each bundle was a different bundle with different kavanas. Not running into shul, Hashanah Rabbi 10 minutes late, going over says, how much is this? How much? $5? What? All right, here's the $5. $5, $4, $5 for a couple of plants. I could also pull them off the Belt Parkway. What are you talking about? All right. It's already late. He goes and runs in with his Hashanahs, puts them on the side. There comes time, come with Asma, Vasma, up, 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 and Fatik finished none. He says the Tzaddik is up the whole night before with the Hashanahs. What's the difference between the Tzaddik and regular people? Because by the Tzaddik, so you say, Rabbi, this is not, there's no din like this. As long as there are Ravis, you need Hashanahs. You don't need, what's the whole thing going on over here with Hashanahs? What are you getting all worked up about Hashanahs? Ki'ilu it's ni'ilu. Like your kid's life depends on whether he gets these Hashanahs or those Hashanahs. Mi ba'esh, mi ba'mayim, it's Hashanahs. What are you getting all worked up? How's he supposed to explain that to people like us? The Shetav Achaim of Yiddishkeit. And that the Hashanahs are just as much in the ocean, just as much a part of that wave of the ocean as in the Eilan Yom Kippur. And as a regular Tuesday in Tevis, Davening Mincha, he doesn't see it like we do. Like drips. And then you stop this drip and you say, it's the rice, it's the rabban, it's a minig, it's not. Of course, you have to know what everything is, and that happens sometimes with the Amoratzim, that they start to get crazy about Minhagim, and they don't keep the halachas. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person understands that there's a minigin, there's a din. But in his heart, the Shetef Echaim, the water, the rushing water comes in by the minig. It's the same rushing water that comes in by the minig, and the same rushing water that comes in by benching lulav, by the lulav itself. How could it be? I was just going to talk about that. How could it be? That was Mamash. I was going to talk when it comes to the nanuim, when it comes to moving the lulav. How could it be that you have that a serious majority of Klal Yisrael, certainly most of the places that we grew up in, that the nanum of the lulav, the motions that one makes with the lulav, and how to describe, like, what is it? If it wouldn't be completely disrespectful, he would also scratch his back. You understand? He's got an itch back there. He wouldn't get a little back scratcher. He wouldn't ask the guy next to him, "Do me a toiva," or go against the wall. If he wouldn't be so disrespectful, he would just, the lulav has a nice point over there. It'd be good to get right over there. It'd be a good spot, but it's not nice. It's not nice. But that would be one of his nanum. If it had to be, it would be one of his. If no one was looking, he could use that as one of the nanum also. That it could, how could it be that a person for 70, 80 years is making the wrong nanum? Doesn't know what he's doing. Meaning, there wasn't precious enough for him to say, finally, I'm 50 years old, Borei Olam, I'm going to go to a Talmud Chacham and ask him, Rebbe, I'm going to admit to you something. I'm 50 years old, I'm benching lulav since I'm a little kid. I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. Can you tell me how to do it? Atifas talus. People put on a talus. How is it? You'll see like this person, 75, 80 years old. He takes the talus. What does he do? He does that little funny thing. He puts the talus and he goes like this, ding. And then he puts it down. You know, like this, ding. He doesn't make an atifa. Yay. Makes it look that right. With a talus. He goes like that. He goes like that, ding. And puts down the talus. He puts on a talus, he doesn't make an atifa. He doesn't do it the right way, according to halacha. There has to be a wrapping in the talus. There's a way to wrap oneself in a talus. Not to make this little thing. There's a way to wrap oneself in a talus. There's nowhere in halacha to do such a thing, to go like that. Go to shul tomorrow morning, to any shul tomorrow. I mean, unless it's a place where there are people that are filled with talmid chacham, but if you go to regular shul, you see all of it. You're 75 years old. You never once thought that maybe it's kedai to... You see there are people around you that are doing funny things, rapping here and throwing there. You never thought that maybe it's kedai to ask someone to look into it or to just pay attention. Watch the guy next to you. The guy is a Talmud Chacham. Well, not a Talmud. The guy is a Ben Perry next to you. Watch how he puts on his towels. There must be a reason why he's doing that thing. It's not because he's cold. Why is he doing that? What's going on with that tifa, with the rapping? There's something going on over there. No, because he's 75 years old, he's still doing that little thing, that little l'chaim, he's still making with the talus. Goes like this, the talus. What was it? What is it? Because to him, chatalus is no plant talus. Had to make the nanum of the luv. If we would understand every movement that we make with the luv, with the hashpah that it has on all the olamis, on our lives and other people's lives, what it means, what to draw down from Shemayim, what each direction is. That's why I was screaming, you see now shuls that they start to make you ready. You have an Ashkenaz shul because it's more convenient. So what do? They make the hakafis. It's an Ashkenaz shul, according to the Minhag Ashkenaz, according to the Ramah, when do you make the hakafis with the Hashanahs? When do you make hakafis with the Hashanahs? After Musaf, right? After Musaf. But then what does that mean, Rabbi said? That means you have to get your lulav twice. Two times. You have to take it out twice. When I first heard this, I remember I came home, I said to my wife, I said, it's finished. The next, I don't know, it's finished. It became too hard. I don't daven Ashkenaz, I daven Svard. Nusach Svard, of course, it's a continuation from Hallel. You make the Hakafis, you make the Hashanahs right away. So look how it came out. The Nusach Svard has a convenience. That according to Nusach Svard, right after Hallel, it's straight. You hold the lulav from the beginning of Hallel. Of course, the guy that doesn't ask, doesn't know that the guy that davened Nusach Svard probably already benched lulav. Where? In the sukkah. In the morning, he had to take it out. He had to take it out in the sukkah. You know, that's hard work. You have to unwrap it, and if you had it in a zipper, you know, that's hard. Took out the lulav. Then he goes, okay. So then, Nusach Svard, right after Hallel, you keep on holding the Arba Minim, and you right away start to make dark coffees. Fine? That's nice. You know why? You don't have to put the lulav down and pick it up again. So now I heard the last few years that there are Ashkenaz shuls. According to the Ramah, you're supposed to make the kafis after Musaf. And I once gave a shiur on that many years ago. There's a real big reason why there's a difference between how the Ramah does it and according to the Ari. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. And the rabbis might even know that difference. I'm not accusing them of knowing them. I would never accuse them of being Tamei Chacham. But let's say, the rabbi knows the difference. Let's say the rabbi knows the difference, and he's still telling the tzibur, Rabbi Yisai, we're allowed to go for the Shanis right after Hallel. Why? If there's one Tamei Chacham, he would say, but Rabbi, why? We're Ashkenaz, Nusach Ashkenaz. It's a very serious thing. It goes back to the Rishonim. It goes back to Sugyas and the Gemara. What are we doing? I have Nusach Ashkenaz. If you have a real Yekid that comes from a real Yekishir background, he would say, B'shum Eifan, I'm not doing that. I don't do that. Ashkenazim don't do that. We go to the Hakafis after Musaf.
Rabbi, these people are still supposed to be wearing tefillin as well.
Yeah. Sure. The real Nusach Ashkenaz is being thrown away because of what? A convenience of not picking up a lulav the second time. Or when I asked one of the rabbis, I said, "Does someone has that work?" He said, "No, he's afraid that what people are going to leave shul and they're going to miss our kafis. They're going to miss our kafis because if you make that kafis of Hashanis after Musaf." Then what's going to happen? People have to go to work. So they're going to miss their coffees. So therefore, we're going to, even though we don't believe in this, but we're going to do like this, like Nusach Svad. Because it's convenient. It's convenient, and this way, we're able to make sure that everybody does their coffees, so they don't, the same way they start blowing the shofar at different times too. You see, how could that be? When a person's Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit of drips, of pieces, but in the Shet of Achaim of Vachai Behan, when every minig is life, it's not just a deraisa, it's not just an ila, it's not just Yom Kippur davening, it's not just Hatzalah, every minig is life. There's a reason why there's a minig to say Hakafis, to go with Hakafis with the lulav after Hallel. And there's a reason why there's a minig to go to Hakafis after Musaf. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and your custom and your family is Nusach Ashkenaz, then you should be going Hakafis after Musaf. If your Nusach is Nusach Svard, or if you're Svardish, so then you go with Hakafis after Hallel. Period. That's life itself. It's part of the current of life. It's part of the ocean of being in that ocean of what it means to be a Jew, the Chai Behem. But it's very hard. This is what I was saying this morning, Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. It's very hard to give that over. If a person doesn't feel in his Yiddishkeit, the Vechai Behem of Yiddishkeit, so then it's how do I get this thing over with as easy as possible and as soon as possible and know that in God's eyes, I fulfilled my commandments. I fulfilled my responsibility. So this guy's going to say, look. I don't know about this. Ashkenaz Svard. I did a kafis today. Am I okay? I did a kafis. I went around. So I was Yaitse. Was I Yaitse? So you say to the person, well, of course you were Yotzi, but. They said, no. I was Yotzi. Yes, you were Yotzi. That's all. Then don't give me a hard time. Musaf, Hallel. I was Yotzi. Fine. Don't have a hard time. How do you explain the difference between one Jew and another Jew? This Yiddishkeit of Tzav Latzav and Kav Lakav. A mitzvah. It's not alive. When Yiddishkeit is the shat of a chaim of Yiddishkeit, then every minig is a great thing. Everything in the nusach. This person only says the nusach. Vinu chuvoi, vinu chuvam, right? It's not after a minute. Boy. It's not after a minute. Doesn't make a difference. You give him a siddur, he says, what's the siddur? Well, he says, isn't it a boy? He says, it's a boy, he says, it's a bomb. There's a difference. I davened today. I was yoytze the davening. You're yoytze. I can't say you're not yoytze. Of course you're yoytze. So what do you care if I said vo, if I said boy, I said bomb? What's the difference? And mimela, if I'm so medactic in the kriyishma, I'm that medactic in the Kriya Shema, the words, and every word, so they're already not, might not be Yotze. But it's not the... But when every minig, and every din, look what he says now. Even something in Yiddishkeit, which is a davar harachak, which seems like it's a far thing, like it's a, you know, it's a small thing. Putting the rings around the lulav, it looks like it's something which is it's far away from the shurish of the life of what it means to be a Jew. It's just like something that's near. As the same unique, is the same unique chayim, the same life, the same force of life, as something which is something which is a big thing in Yiddishkeit. Something which is a big thing. The little thing, the big thing, it's all chiyus, it's all life.
V'yisoyde ha-Torah b'yachad im ha-protim ha-siyogim v'atikunim.
V'yisoyde ha-Torah, the foundations, the fundamental dinim of Torah and principles of Torah, all go together with what? In this big ocean? B'yachad im ha-protim, with all of the protim, ha-siyogim v'atikunim, and all of the drabonins, the siyogim, to prevent us from doing something that we shouldn't be doing, and the tikunim, and all the takonis of Chazal, it's all one big ocean. Again, not that the person doesn't learn and know the chiluk. Of course you have to learn. And you know that this is a deraisa, this is a rabban. It's a sofer deraisa, you're machin, it's a sofer rabban, you make, you have to know the halachas. What do you do if something, if you're uncertain, how to paskin? Of course you have to know the halachas. But in terms of the excitement, in terms of the observance, in terms of doing and wanting and keeping and living, it's all one big thing. It's all one big thing. It means to be a yid. It means Yiddishkeit. A person that doesn't understand what we're learning now is michutz to that inyan of what it means, of what Yiddishkeit, to feel what this is, to understand, to feel, I understand. That's why I said it's very hard to explain this. But we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves all the time, what is my Yiddishkeit? Is it Savlatsov Kavlakov or is it Shatav Achaim? Think about it. Am I living in drips of Yiddishkeit? Am I living in the ocean of being a Jew? What's my Yiddishkeit? Drip, drip, drip. Mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. Or is it the ocean that comes from the place? Of the ma'ayonis of who a person is, of the wellsprings of who a person is, of a Klal Yisrael. And how's Klal Yisrael? Where do we stand as a nation, as a people, as a tzibur, as a nation? What happened to our Yiddishkeit? To the shetef ha'chaim of Yiddishkeit, to the healthy, beautiful shetef ha'chaim of Jewish living, of Yiddishkeit.
Ha-minhogim.
Look what Rav Kook says. Not just the Yisoidei HaTorah, the big fundamental things of all of Yiddishkeit, the 13 animamins, and all the derisas go together in one big thing with what? The protim, the siyogim, all the tikkunim, ha-minhogim, all the minhogim, the hadrochas ha-yesharas, or the good hadrochas, the advice, and hadrocha that we have over the generations that are in the swarm from different tzaddikim, that they wrote for us, hadrochas of how to be better, of how to improve our lives. Ha-munas ha-toivas, all good beliefs, v'chol se'ifayim, and all of the se'ifim, se'ifim meaning the, how do you translate se'ifim to? Like a se'ifim, all the branches meaning, but all of the paragraphs, all of the fine print, all the fine print.
Po'amim pa'amayis chayim ke'echad kulam, are beating with the pulse of life, ke'echad kulam,
minhagim, deraises, rabbonans, hadrochas, big emunas, the big animamas, little emunalech things, little things in emuna, little inyanim in emuna, everything is one. Poyamim pa'amais chayim ke'echad kulam. All one. This you see that by the tzaddikim, the fire by every minig, the fire by every benching, by everything is a fire. This is not how a person lives when he's in a place of katna semuna, small amuna, meaning pieces of amuna. choppy emuna. Habar mitach tzimtzum hegyoni meduldal. That just comes with tzimtzum hegyoni meduldal. Wow, I'd love to send that out to the Orthodox world. Those tzimtzum hegyoni meduldal. I don't know. What do I do with these words? Tzimtzum hegyoni. Constricted, dangling. Meduldal means when something is like you have a hangnail, you know, it's like hanging. Meduldal hegyoni means logic. The person's Yiddishkeit is a way of tzimtzum hegyoni meduldal. This is a deraisa, so I don't have to have such big kavanas. Makes sense. He's right. Higayon means logic. Boy, do I feel bad for a husband and wife who live their marriage in the way of simtsum hegyoni meduldal. Simtsum hegyoni meduldal. No. The marriage makes sense. It's big rachmanis. Any marriage that makes sense is a big rachmanis. It's rachmanis. Hegyon, simtsum hegyon meduldal means that everything is constricted to that which it makes sense, which is logical. And Rav Kook calls that state meduldal, dangling, not totally disconnected, but barely connected. That's how it is with a husband and wife, like that.
Does that mean that in future generations it's
going to
get less if it goes forward like that?
Is that a... Gosh, it's not. Chas v'shalom, it's going to get much better. Why do I have to be pessimistic? It's going to get much better. But look at this, what he says. Habor mitot simtsum hegyoni meduldal, shetzor ha-seichel la'amol ad she'yimsel o'yachas ben ha'ikyo ha-miskabel al ha-leiv, l'fi ha-segosoy, el-estafus ha-rechoykish la-ta'aluch ha-seprotis. That he has to work very, very hard in his brain to try to connect the dots. To try to see some reason why that would appeal to me of why this inyan is important, like the husband says to the wife, why do you insist that every now and then I show you how I love you? Why do you insist upon such a thing? I told you, and remember 40 years ago I told you that it will be forever. We're still holding by forever. So, why do you bother me about this stuff? And what do you want me to do? So then, Achmanis, it's not a Achmanis. Simtsum Hegel. So she has to explain to him why, because in every marriage, it's important and it's healthy that there be these reminders. It's important. So the husband says, how often? So she says,
what's the minimum?
Yeah. So exactly. How often? So he said. So she says, I don't know. She's already doesn't have, you understand, she doesn't have a cheshik to answer anymore. I don't know, once a week? What if there's no tachman? So, what if it's nissen has a work with which days? You have any specific days? So she lost the chesik, and asked, who's she talking to? And then he has to try to figure out, how am I going to do this enough that it should make my wife, that she shouldn't have these convulsions of misery and start making me crazy every now and then, so she should behave. So what's the shiur, right, that I have to be able to be yaitse? So he figures out, what's it, deraisa, I love you, what's it, derabanan, I love you, what's it, minig, I love you. I'm not talking about the dibur, which is havalaval, I'm talking about to be a person, to be people that are living a life of soid. And this marriage is a marriage that has been diminished to a place of tzimtzum hegyoni meduldal. It's just a constricted, tiny place that makes sense. Makes sense, as I would expect, at least once a week. Okay, once a week, Thursday, 10 o'clock at night. Is that okay? Can you imagine? So every Thursday, 10 o'clock. I love you.
For a reminder,
yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. He remembers Sefirah Sarim before he remembers that. So that's what the Baruch Shalom meant. How Yiddishkeit is supposed to be like that. Such a thing. That's what Yiddishkeit was meant to be. It's Rachmanis. It's not Rachmanis. It's Rachmanis on a marriage between two people. It's Rachmanis on a marriage between the Borei Olam and a Knesset Yisrael to have such a marriage like that. What the Borei Shalom wants, there should be a Shetav Achayim. You know, when that couple that's already married 40 years, when they first fell in love, every tiny little thing was very chashuv. Oh, you put on my favorite, that's, you know, I love when you wear that sweater, that's my favorite sweater. Now the wife can come home with a whole new wardrobe, and she's going to model in front of her husband back and forth, and he's sitting there reading the Allgemeine Journal. And he doesn't know what is the matter with her? Why is she must be nervous. Why is she walking back and forth the whole day? And she goes, I said, what is it? And then finally she says, you know, I got this whole, you know, you just spent $785. And I got this whole new outfit. Oh, it's beautiful. Enjoy. We're in good health. We're in good health. The Bershom didn't want to have a Yiddish cat like that we should live with him like that. He wanted, there should be a Shetef Achai. When they first were going out, then if she wore the scarf like this, or she wore the scarf like that, he noticed, and if he said this, she said that, every single word, and he wrote in the days when people wrote to each other, so there would be letters, and if it was this, he was medak like he was learning a Rashi, he'd be medakdik in the letter. What did he say? What didn't she say? What she left out? What he didn't leave out? That's what it means. Shetef Achayim. A Yiddishkeit of Shetef Achayim. But if the Yiddishkeit is Tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav. I was yoytze. Am I yoytze as a husband? I'm yoytze as a wife. I'm yoytze as a Jew. I did what I had to do. Gandik. But the life, the heart, the pulse of what it means has been lost. That's why, you know, so last year I wrote this article. That I wrote it only really balkarachi because I had agreed that I would. And if I agreed, I had to do it. When just one thing is missing, a soul. So the people that got angry about it, and there were people that got angry about it, and I got a couple of letters, and anonymous letters, and then somebody wrote this and called about that. So I said to him, it's not for you. And somebody, there was a rabbi that called me up, he was very angry, and I said, I'm sorry that you read it. It's not for you. I didn't mean it for you. It's not for you. It's not for you. I meant it for people who, I didn't say that. I just said, it's all wrong. It's I made mistakes. And don't read it. Don't read it. Don't give it to anybody. Don't ever, if I ever make a mistake again to write something like that, don't read it. It's not good for you. How do I explain? And you want to put into writing what it means, the Shetef Achayim of Yiddishkeit. And someone comes to me and make digdukim, and like this, and how is like that, and to say, that's not for you. I'm not talking to you. It wasn't for you. I was writing that for people who are in love. I wasn't writing that for people who are tired of being married. I was writing for people who are in love, or want to be in love. But if you gave up on that a long time ago, you know, you have no interest in that. You have no interest in that. So that's not for you. There are other things that are for you, and enjoy them. And you could be a much bigger tzaddik than me. It's just different. Just different. It's not for you. It's different. So. Either you understand that or you don't understand. That's the same thing what we're learning now. That's why before I started, when I was learning this again, I said, how am I going to say this over to the chevra? I don't know how to say this. How do you explain this? How do you talk about it? If you're in the sugya, you know exactly what the tzaddik is talking about here. If you're not in the sugya, then it's just different. It's not for you. You're still a tzaddik, a much bigger tzaddik, but it's just not for you. Hashem's book should help that we should be zeicher. That we should be zoichim in Hashem for that time where Yiddishkeit would be kemaim le'am mechasim, with the big ocean of Mashiach Sakenu, the Gula Shavar Mitzvah, maybe Amen or Amen.